Hey, generally I ask somebody to come and pray for me or whoever's speaking this morning. I want to pray on behalf of us all. So will you join me? Lord Jesus, we have come here not to sing some songs for the sake of singing songs. We've come here not to listen to me. We've come here to worship you. And so this morning, Lord, I ask that you would redirect our focus from the stuff of the week, from the stuff of ourselves, onto the only one who deserves worship, and that's Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're in a series that we're titling Songs for the Journey. We've been looking at the Psalms of Ascent in the book of Psalms, chapters 120 to 134, and we're not going in order, kind of jumping around just to keep you on your toes. And last week, we kicked it off talking about humility. This week, we're going to be talking about worship. And the Songs of Ascent, that implies movement or upward movement. And this is David fleshing out in poem, digging deeper into his relationship with Creator God. There's a movement in our relationship with God that moves up towards him. And David is talking about them in poem form in the book of Psalms in chapters 120, 134. Today we're going to be in chapter 122, and we'll get there in a second. But this morning our focus is on worship. And so I have a question to ask you before we get going. And this is my question. What brings you joy? As you think about that, I put together maybe some pictures that might invoke joy in you. Man, who doesn't like puppies? There's some people I know. But what's better than like seeing a bunch of puppies on a chair? Holding a bunch of puppies. Oh, don't you just feel something deep in your soul that like your soul is smiling when you see puppies, right? For some of you, it's this, not for me. But for some of you, it's this. You know, an armful of kittens. One of the most viewed things on YouTube is kittens. And for some people, you know, that brings you joy. For me, all I think of is my allergies, so that doesn't bring me joy. But for you, it might bring you joy. For some of us, a really good hike. You're walking. And for some of you, I just want to sit on a couch and enjoy something. For some of us, getting out there and hiking. I live right at the base of Hook Mountain, and we have not hiked this whole summer. What is wrong with us? And just something about being out there in the creation that God has provided for us and seeing everything that he has created fills my soul. Maybe for some of us, it's a really good sunset. Friday night, there was this amazing sunset, and I wish I would have time-lapsed it as the color just began to change. And for some of you, the beach. Let's just sit on some of you are nodding. There's warm fuzzies in your soul. Just sitting on the beach and listening to the waves crash and sticking your feet in the sand and just kind of rubbing them around. For us the other night, this is Caleb up the bat. Not from the other night because I was sitting too far away, but Caleb has been like this close to hitting a home run like the entire baseball season. He's hit the fence I don't know how many times. And the other night in an all-star game, he barely got a hold of this ball, and I stood up screaming, "Go, go, go!" And it made it over the fence, and he got to run around the bases. Right? Like when you see your kids succeed at something, you see them try and try and try, and then finally succeed. There's something inside of you just fills your gut with your soul with joy. And all of that joy that I'm talking about, that I've been asking you to think about, all of that joy comes from our Creator God. He has created all these things. He created puppies. He created kittens. He created everything that you see around you, and the sun and the stars and everything that we see. He created people who created baseball so that we could cheer for home runs. He created all those things. And the fact that he created all that, that we feel this joy, the correct response to that is worshiping him. And David takes us to that place in Psalm chapter 22. So if you would turn with me to Psalm chapter 22, It's page 604 in the Pew Bible in front of you, or you can pull out an app if you have the Bible app on your phone or you brought your own Bible with you. It's Psalm 122, and most of the Bible's in front of you. And I just want to read it for you this morning. It says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compact together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, and according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the throne of the house of David. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, 'Peace be with you.' For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek prosperity." Now, we're not going to cover all of worship this morning. We could do a whole series on worship. There are more than 7 words in the Old Testament in regards to worship and different responses to worship. The most predominant means to bow, to put yourself in submission before God. And we start off in this book, in this chapter, David bringing us into the concept of the excitement and joy that comes out of getting together and worshiping God. And so I want to look at 3 things this morning from this passage of Scripture, that worship is a joy that's done together. We can worship by ourselves, and that's great. We've been created to worship God, but it's better done together. That's why we get together to worship God. That it centers us on God. It takes our center away from ourselves and puts the center on what it's supposed to be, and that's God. And thirdly, from this passage of Scripture, I see that it brings us peace, security, and generosity. They pray for it, but that's a response that Jesus, God, always wants to respond to those kind of prayers, those asks that are in line with his will. And so peace and security and generosity come out of our worship. They're not the point of our worship, they're a response to our worship. And so I want to start with this first one. What is joy, this joy that's done together? I want us to look at this. So before, to help kind of set the stage so you can understand what's going on in here, I don't want to presuppose that everybody understands where we're at. And so a little bit of backstory. The Israelites came out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, wandering around in the wilderness. They did not have permanent residence, and so they made a tent called the tabernacle to worship God. The Bible says that God's presence resided over the tabernacle so that they would go in and meet with him in his presence. All right, and that tabernacle was eventually moved to Jerusalem, and eventually that tabernacle was turned into an actual building, the temple, of which David himself didn't get to build. God gave it to his son Solomon to build. So it's not even built yet, and David, in this passage of Scripture, is kind of looking ahead at the future, what it will be like to worship God in the temple, a place for his God to reside. They had several festivals in the town of Jerusalem. Each year they had several of these festivals, and they'd go up in those festivals to worship God. For all the things that he had done for them, their response was worship. They also went to the temple for the remission of sins or for the forgiveness of sins, their separation from God to rejoin back with him. Year after year after year, a sacrifice was made. Now, we have the permanent sacrifice in Jesus, so that year after year sacrifice doesn't have to take place anymore. But they didn't have that luxury, so year after year after year, they went up to praise and worship God and for the remission of sins. So that's kind of the backstory to what's taking place here. And so I want to look at this. Worship is a joy that's done together. So as you look at this section of Scripture, it says, "I rejoice with those. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet," not my feet, "our feet are standing at the gates. The tribes go up together." See how the we language? It's not I, it's we. This is not meant to be done just by ourselves. This is meant for us to do this together, to go before God together. And so I rejoice with those is this concept of seeing others worship causes you joy. David is saying, I love when I hear people say, hey, come on, let's go worship God. There's something inside of me that when I hear others say, David, come on, come worship God with me, that I get excited. I get excited when others do it. David wants to. He wants to worship God. And we see this in this sent passage of the scripture. He wants this relationship with God. And when others say to him, David, let's go do this together, this joy takes over him and rejoicing is the response. Praising God is the response. When I listen to these guys singing worship songs, when I come in, before the service even starts, when we were singing that song, when they were practicing that song in different languages, I began to cry because there's so many different people around the world praising and worshiping God today at this moment, at this hour, or previous moments, at previous hours of this day. And just to think about all the different languages that are spoken in response to a relationship with God should cause us to feel this sense of joy. And David is saying, that's what's taking place. When I hear others say, David, come and worship with me, he's filled with joy. And this worship, when it's done together, causes unity. Man, as a world, as a society, are we not in desperate need of unity? There are things that divide. The remedy for division of the world is worshiping Creator God. You can hashtag that one. The tribes, there were 12 of them. The sons of Jacob, who would become known as Israel. And all those tribes went up together. They didn't have phones, but they would call their tribe. Hey, tribe, come on, let's go up together. Let's go up and worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together, not by ourselves, together. A few months back in the month of May, Pastor Robert and I and a couple others, the Scapins, went out to our national council, which is our conference that's biannually every other year. And my favorite parts was every single morning we heard story after story after story of people around the world telling what God was doing in their church, in their town, in their village. And we had this little app to kind of stay connected, and it was like our own little version of Twitter, and you could tweet on it, and it was a lot of fun. And this hashtag became the most predominant hashtag on the app during the week. Hashtag, I love my tribe. I love my tribe. And every single morning, we heard a new story and a new story and a new story. Stories like one of our unreached places in the Middle East, where we heard story after story of people who had had dreams or visions of Jesus showing up in their dreams or in their room saying, you need to meet me, go and ask so-and-so about me. Story after story after story. We heard great and miraculous stuff like that. And then we heard stories about people who just said, you know what? Somebody was prompted to pray for me, and they called me up and they prayed for me, and there was this unity that took place. And morning after morning after morning, you couldn't help but get excited. Sometimes we laughed, sometimes we cried, and every single morning we wanted more because we realized that our little world, like my little world here in Nyack, is not the only little world that God cares about. He cares about the whole world. And we heard story after story after story of people within the Christian Mission Alliance, which this church is a part of, our little tribe. When we heard it, this hashtag, I love my tribe, took root. And there is a tribe here. And there is a tribe there, and there is a tribe there, and all those tribes worship God together. This was not meant to happen just by ourselves. It's meant to happen together. Worship centers us on God. I don't know if you realize this. But worship is not about you and me. It's not about us. It's about God. And we look at this, the house of the Lord, the tribes of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord according to the status given Israel. Thrones for judgment, God's thrones, right? The focus is on him. The house of the Lord back then was the tabernacle, it was the tent, and then later the temple. It was a building, it was a place of resonance at which God's presence came and rested. Now that we have Jesus and he has deposited in us the Holy Spirit, guess what? Now you are the house of the Lord. If you have Jesus, you are now the house of the Lord. So this building can go away and fade, and it would not matter. God doesn't need this building to reside anymore. He needs you. And so it goes from the house of the Lord to the house for the Lord, and the house for the Lord, and the house for the Lord. And then when we come together as the houses for the Lord, guess what happens? This becomes the house of the Lord. So the only reason this is the house of the Lord is because you're present. Otherwise, this would just be a nice building. The tribes of the Lord, his tribes, you are his. You're not your own. Praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given Israel. This was the concept of shooting out or throwing out praise to give thanks to God because you have a relationship with him because of his testimony. And that testimony is that he has provided a way for you back to him. That's why we give praise back to God. We give praise back to God because he made a way for us to have relationship with him. That it's no longer dependent on us what we do. It's dependent on us stepping towards him and allowing him to do the work. That's it. He takes the onus now. And because of that, because he's done it for us, then our response is to worship him. Then our response is to give him praise, to shout out, to throw out praise to God. And then there's also this little piece tucked in there, the thrones of judgment. And I don't want us to get sidetracked by this, but the truth is that God is a justice and a merciful God. He is a God of justice and he is a God of mercy. And I think oftentimes we've said this before, we want him to be God of mercy and maybe not so much a God of justice, or maybe a God of justice for them, but not for us. God, you can be just towards them, but man, go easy on me. But he is both. He desires to be both and he wants to be both. And the Israelites understood that. They realized that their dependency was on him and not on them. And so their sins were offered to God to take and remove away from them, and the response then was worship. And the fact that he was merciful as God, their response was worship. Their response was worship. It's all about God. We just sang the song, Heart of Worship, and some of you know the history behind that song. It was written in the 90s. The church at the time, the worship pastor was Matt Redman, who has written hundreds of worship songs. And at the time, their church was the it church in England in regard, and really the better part of the world, in regards to the best songs that Christians could offer in worshiping God. And there was this uneasiness that settled over him. Because the worship had become about the songs and how they sung and no longer about God. And so the pastoral staff said, you know what? We're going to get rid of the sound system. We're going to get rid of all the instruments. And we're just going to come in and refocus our attention on God. And it was awkward and it was painful for a couple weeks. And then the response was something a cappella or something, some kind of prayer. Because their focus was on consuming and not producing. Maybe we put it this way. When we come to worship God together and we are looking to get fed, we're more often than not going to go home hungry. If you're coming here on a Sunday morning to get fed, to be full, more often than not, you're going to go home hungry. If you come here on a Sunday morning to respond back to God for what he's done for us, if that is why you come, more often than not, you're going to go home full. Our focus and our intention is not about us. It's about him. When we worship, it's not about how well or not how well they sing. It's not about how well or not how well we do our announcements and pray. It's not about how well or how good the children respond to what. It's not about any of that. It's a response to God. End of story. So if we no longer had preaching on a Sunday morning, that wouldn't affect, doesn't have to affect one iota of what it means to worship. Our response to God is worship. That's it. Our response. It's not about us and our needs. It's about God and his glory. And when we come to give him glory, guess what happens? More often than not, your needs are met. We need to redirect our focus on giving God his praise and his glory. If we're going away on a Sunday morning hungry, we have to, imperatively, change our focus. Because it's about him and not about us. Worship brings peace and security and generosity. And these are prayers in the end of this passage of Scripture. There's prayers listed here. I pray for these. He's praying for these things about Jerusalem. He prays for peace. May those who love you be secure. Peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Peace within you. And this concept, praying, is really an asking. The word there, pray, is to ask of God for these things. Lord, I'm asking you that you would bring peace to Jerusalem, and better yet, peace to your temple, and now yet, better yet, peace to your people. Not only that, may there be security and peace within the walls. The direction is on God for the things of God so that the people of God will get what they need. It's this focused. It's upward focused to God. And this may this peace be within you. And God's response to us calling out to him generally is, yes! It's all he wants. Is for us to shift our focus off of self so he can do the things that he wants to do in and through you. And when we do that in the context of worship, it makes him happy. Makes him happy. And then there's this last little verse in here that's a little bit confusing until you dig a little deeper. I will seek for your prosperity. And he's talking about Jerusalem, but there's a bigger picture at play here. And the concept of the word used here is to seek to be at ease or to be at rest. And I think when we're financially secure, there's a peace that takes over us. And he's praying that for Jerusalem. God, I want my city, I want my temple to be at peace and secure physically, emotionally, mentally, and monetarily is the concept there. But this outward focus towards God for the things of God, not on self any longer, is what's taking place. And so he is seeking for the church, this is our focus, the greater church as a whole, not this church, not just that church, not just that church down the road, all the capital C churches, as we seek after God for the things of God, the church gets what it needs. Because the focus is on God. That we would be a part of this progress and that we would prosper. The prosperity that he's talking about is a resting in God for everything that is needed. That's what he's going after. And so, be generous. Last year, I had a pastor buddy call me up and he said, Jeff, you're never going to believe what happened. We were $80,000 behind in the budget. $80,000. If you look at our bulletin, we're $20,000. $80,000. I can't even fathom that. $80,000. And he goes, Jeff, the coolest thing happened. This guy showed up at my house, knocked on the door, and I recognized him. I'd seen him once or twice, and he said, hey, you probably don't recognize me or know me, but I go to your church, and I can only make it two or three times a year because of my work schedule. But that's my church. That's where God has called me. I want that church to prosper, and I haven't tithed in a while. Here's my tithe check, and it was a check for $87,000. It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about my needs or my desires. It's about you. And that's extreme. So maybe let me give you maybe one that's a little easier or palpable. When I was at the conference a couple weeks ago, I ran into another pastor buddy of mine that I knew from working in Pennsylvania. And he now pastors at an international church in Thailand. And he said, "Jeff, how are you doing? How's it going?" And I said, "You know, it's good." And he goes, "Man, you might not know this, but I grew up in the church that you're now pastoring. And I pray for Living Christ Church every single week. I have a little reminder to pray for the church that God has planted in Nyack, New York, every single week." And he lives in Thailand. When it becomes about the things of God and not about the things of us, God gets the glory and the church of God gets what it needs. When we take the focus off of self, when we humble ourselves like we talked about last week, and we put ourselves in a posture and a position that's not about me, it's about Him, and the people that we see around us that God is calling us to, God gets the praise. And the byproduct is you get what you need. When we flip it and look for the byproduct of our needs, we don't get what we need because it becomes about us. When it gets put in its proper place and the focus is on God and He gets what is His because He is Creator God, then the byproduct, you get what you need. But don't go for the byproduct. Go for the one who gives the product. In your bulletins, you're going to see a little slip of paper. And so this is the response that I want us to have this week. There's a little insert in there. And it's got these questions at the top. It says, "For each day this week," right? So I'm giving you homework. It's the middle of the summer. This is good. This is good homework. This is good homework. All right? "For each day this week, I want you to ask yourself this question at the end of the day. What reminded you of God today? Maybe it's the sunrise. Maybe it's the sunset. Maybe it's the puppies. Whatever it is. Maybe it's the way somebody treated you at work that was contrary than how you've been treated before. And all of a sudden, you felt some joy in your life. What would be your response to Him? So how did you see Him today? What reminded you of God on Monday and then on Tuesday and then on Wednesday and then on Thursday and Friday and Saturday? And what was your response back to Him? Maybe you weren't sure. That's okay. What do you want your response back to Him to be? And then I want us to bring this next week. And so then when we come next week, we spend the whole week asking to see what God wants us to see so that we come back next week and then it's easy. It's easy because we have something every single day that we've written down that we can praise God for. And then our worship is simple. Wouldn't it be awesome if we did this for the remainder of the year? Every single day, just kind of write down, tweet about, Facebook, Instagram about the things that God has shown us so that the focus becomes on Him and not on us and the world gets unified. I'm a big dreamer. Let us come back next week and let's worship God together. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to sing one more exciting song as we go out this morning as our response. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, You are so, so good. God, You are good. And we've even just begun to scratch the surface of what it means to worship You. Lord, I ask that You would bring us into a place this week each and every single day where our focus and our attention is brought to you so that we could worship you with what you are due. In the name of your Son, I pray. Amen. Will you